Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging out. And if you will, pardon me, I'm a little bit clumsy tonight. If you saw the equipment I'm working with, you would laugh your tail off. For a computer, I use this little, they call it an SE phone, that my grandson's friend girl, he's known since diapers, so they're like brothers and sisters, they play all the time. She picked this phone out for me several years ago. The screen's 2 inches wide. But I've been looking stuff up, and, Miss Monica asked me to remind her of to get back to Samuel Untermyer, and also, he had a buddy while I was looking this stuff up. He had a wonderful buddy by the name of Theodore Nathan Kaufman. He wrote a book called Germany Must Perish. The name of the book, again, people, is Germany Must Perish. We've mentioned this on this show before, but he just thought, he was a little on the radical side, you might say. He said that he wanted to exterminate 80 million of the Germans in Germany. And his buddy, I'm going to go back to Monica now. His buddy was the guy that she told me to remind her of. It's Samuel Untermyer. So, Monica, take off on that, what I just said, and your buddy Samuel Untermyer.
Oh, my goodness. And I didn't, well, of course they were buddies, but I hadn't actually, you know, made that connection myself in my readings here. But with Theodore Kaufman, Germany Must Perish. Yeah, he put out a method and everything. He said, well, you know, just hire 20,000 physicians to do sterilizations on all the men between certain ages, like I think 20 to 60 or something, for a certain amount of time, and voila, no more Germans. Because, you know, the Germans are just through and through, they're evil. This is, I mean, I'm laughing, it's no laughing matter. This was taken seriously. That's the thing. Who was he charged for hate speech back then? Are you kidding me? No. They talked about it in the mainstream media, like, oh, sensational idea. Oh, interesting idea. You know, I mean, this was taken seriously. That was in 1941, Theodore Kaufman. But now, let's go to 1933, when...
Hey, Monica, and don't leave out our good buddy, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and his bud, Bernard Baruch. He was in. They were all in on this, Monica. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just want to tweak your memory a little bit there. Go ahead, Monica.
Oh, please. That's really good. Interrupt any time, Eddie, because you have so much knowledge and a depth of knowledge. I really appreciate that. So, Untermyer, I only just read about this last night in a fantastic book, by the way. The book is called The Myth of German Villainy by Benton Bradbury. And he reprinted the entire speech in this book of Untermyer that he gave. It was on a radio address over a station called WABC in New York City. And then it was printed in the New York Times, August 7th, 1933 edition. I'll just give you a few little samples of what he talked about in that speech. That he declared that Germany intended to exterminate the Jewish race. Now, this was 1933. I mean, nobody in Germany uttered. Yeah, nobody had ever uttered such a threat. This, where does he pull that? It's pulled out of thin air, but this is what happened. The Jews, their media, you know, they had total control of media. They concocted this. This whole speech is just so inflammatory, and it creates fanciful, fantastical stories what the Germans were doing. They were torturing the Jews. They were doing all kinds of nasty things. And then couching it in terms of, oh, but the heavily censored, you know, media hardly lets a word of this escape Germany. And so he's making it sound like all these things are going on behind a heavily veiled wall.
I think today, we call it predictive programming.
Yes, exactly. Predictive. Yeah.
And people like to chime in. I'd like to chime in just 1 minute. This is a quick comment. And is there any wonder why the Jews that are in control of the government. Is there any wonder at all why they throw people in prison for trying to bring this up? I mean, if the world could get control of this, if our Christian people could ever get the true story, the Jews would have to go to another climate. And before we go back to Miss Berta, I'm going to bring this in there too. This good buddy, this Coffin, they're also running spy rings against the American people. They were rooting out so-called anti-Semites back as far back as the 20s and 30s. Now back to you, Miss Berta. Go ahead, Miss Berta. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No problem. This is just because Monica was stating that they were describing crimes which were never uttered or which was not on the plan, you know, and she was stating it from 1933. And this nowadays, we know it from Hollywood films, that sooner or later things pop up in our real life, not concerning now war and mass murder in that sense, but technology or certain scenarios, and this is what I draw the conclusion from what we have to see today, and we call it predictive programming. And at that time, they didn't have Hollywood or TV as such; they had newspapers and books.
That's right. Yeah, they also love that magic number of six. So, in his speech, Samuel Untermeyer, he talks about. Let's see, I'll go to the beginning of that sentence that has this nice 600,000 number. And so will history repeat itself, but that furnishes no reason why we should permit this reversion of a once great nation to the dark ages or fail to rescue these 600,000 human souls from the tortures of hell as we can with the aid of our... And it goes on, you know. So this six comes up over and over. And by the way, that 6 million also comes up in newspaper articles and headlines going all the way back to World War One. You know, it's 6 million souls perishing or 6 million Jews are under threat. Or it's always, but in this case, 600,000, because in Germany, there were not more than 500,000 Jews living in Germany at that time. That's too much. And,
exactly.
You know, yeah, exactly. And then in all of any, at the height of, you know, German controlled territory in Europe, there were never more than, I think, 3.5 million Jews at the, you know, the extent of their, you know, whatever control they had over territories. I mean, the numbers just don't add up. Somehow this 6 million number seems to persist, even though the official numbers, even in these camps, even from the official camp historians, the numbers keep going down, and yet the 6 million remains. That it's like a magical thing. For instance,
So much magical, because it's named or repeated by the rabbis, because you know that they lost their homeland, and when 6 million Jews give their souls, they will give it, get it back. That's why they have success with this number.
Miss Berta, we have to go to a break. There's the music. Dear Blood River Radio people, hang on, we'll be right back.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Well, people, I'm so proud of what we're doing tonight. I'm really proud of our work that Blood River Radio does. And I'm almost giddy over the two ladies we have on tonight. And I'd like to reiterate what I've said before. These two ladies have incredible courage. Incredible, incredible, incredible courage. Miss Monica has already served time in a prison for wrongthink. Her brother is still there, for God's sakes. Miss Berta is in she is in the mouth of the lion right now. She could be arrested and sent to prison, and by God, they're coming on, and they're helping to shine the light, the purifying light on this stinking lie that's been going on for God only shit, for what, 70 years? It's been going on. It's being used to beat us down, to beat our children with, our ignorant. I hate to dog the millennials, the snowflakes that eat this crap up and swallow it. And they regurgitate and have, yo, the Jews have been mistreated so bad. And also, people, I know we're going back to that word repeat. I'm going to repeat myself again. The Holocaust lie, even though it's the greatest lie that's been told in probably 200 years, this is just in the whole big picture, the scheme of things, of what the Jews have done to Christians and good people ever since for 2,000 years, that's just one of hundreds. I mean, they hate us. They despise us. They hate our ancestors. They hate our children. And you know what? It's not just me saying it. Go and research the facts. Look at what they do. There is no way we can coexist with these people. We have to have our own nation. To reiterate what Dr. Michael Hill says, we have to have our own independent nation of free Christian white people. We cannot let these people rule us. And I'm going to shut the hell and go back to you, Miss Berta.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And now I would like to add something which I already told Monica, because I'm thinking that there's something changing very slowly. And last Thursday, on the 7th of May, 2020, there is an article in the newspaper Die Welt stating the Rheinwiesenlager and naming 7.7 million war prisoners had to live under worse conditions, so to say. It's not real or exact description what they had to the German soldiers surrendering had to go through. But it's really unheard of that it is named. It's really stating Rheinwiesenlager, and that the British and the Americans had to cope with 7.7 million war prisoners, and they were not prepared, and you know how they try to describe something. But it's not the truth or what happened to the German soldiers as such, but it is named just two days ago. And this is a big surprise.
That is a huge surprise. And, you know, I didn't actually see your message until minutes before the show began. I didn't open the article. But, yes, it is named. That is really good. But you're absolutely right. They're not telling the truth, because what they're omitting is that these were deliberate starvation. Like, they starved over a million of these soldiers. Mm-hmm. And they were given, the guards were given orders to shoot any of the villagers if they were trying to hand food through the fences to these starving soldiers, for example. If some of the villagers nearby were trying to alleviate their suffering, they were to be shot on sight. And I mean, these were called, nicknamed Eisenhower death camps, and because there was a deliberate strategy to murder these soldiers after the war, and this was after the war. And, you know, on that note, who ever learns in school that millions of Germans died after the war, and it wasn't just by, you know, bad luck? No, it was deliberate. I mean, first there were all those expulsions from the Middle Germany, what they used to be, I guess, referred to as Middle Germany, the Eastern territories, and they were forcibly expelled, and millions died along the way. It was the largest mass forced expulsion of humans in our history. Estimates 16 million, and probably 3 million died along the way. And then there were these Rhine meadows, the Eisenhower death camps, and many Germans starved after the war. And yeah, it was all out. The war continued, in other words, even after the bombs stopped dropping. Yeah, it's that's something that they don't teach us, teach the school children. They also don't teach the children. They don't teach that Germany is not a sovereign nation to this day. You know, I spoke about that with fellow prisoners, German prisoners. They had no idea that Germany did not have, they're not a sovereign nation. They're not even called a nation, not even by the United Nations. They call them some kind of a non-governmental organizational entity. I'm not sure exactly what wording they use, but it's occupied land. Yeah, I would like to, if I may, actually, first of all, I wanted to tie up something that you were talking about earlier when the commercial break came on, I think at the top of the hour, Birte. And that was basically, you were going to make the point and then weren't able to get to the crux of it, that no other people are allowed to have memorials to mourn their, you know, if there's a genocide that has happened. And that the irony of it is that the real genocide, the victims of those are not allowed to put up memorials or mourn those. Like you say, I think you were going to say that the Jews were against that when the Africans wanted to.
Yes, and there was a French philosopher, a Jewish French philosopher, Alain Finkelstein, who interrupted this discussion by saying the Holocaust is unique. And this was what happened in the Congo. Was kind of education, and that was the moment where I thought, education. where I thought, okay, this is wait a minute.
Yeah,
where I was start to think that a lot of the Jewish people also are taking part in this, that they are not so very much liked.
And then, you know, what about the Holodomor? Then there's countless other. But, well, I was going to say the irony is that the one that didn't happen is the singular one that has memorials put up all over the world. You know, this Holocaust, so-called Jewish Holocaust, the one that didn't happen, that's the only one that we're all supposed to, you know, mourn and remember. I wanted to tell you what happened when the Soviet liberators came, so-called, let's put that in air quotes, the liberators, came to Auschwitz, January 27th, 1945. Now, before that, there were all kinds of rumors, because during wars, that's one of their main weapons is propaganda and atrocity propaganda. We talked about that
up to this
during
date.
Our first show. Up to that date. So the rumors going around were that the Germans were killing millions, especially Jews, on orders from Berlin, and that they were dissecting prisoners alive, and they were burning them alive, and they were also gassing them and then burning or burying them in pits alive. All these rumors were going around. Now, when the Soviet liberators arrived January 27, 1945, what they found was so contrary to the propaganda that for several days there was silence in the leading Soviet paper, the Pravda. I mean, that is highly unusual, is it not, that there would mm-hmm. be silence after this big move to, you know, liberate this so-called death camp. Now, February 1st, so that's 4 days later, they finally broke their silence, and there was a brief statement where they said the Hitlerites killed the children and the ill by means of gas, as well as the men and women who were unfit for work, and they cremated the cadavers in special furnaces, and there were 12 of these furnaces in the camp. And then the Pravda added the number of deaths were reckoned at thousands and thousands, not millions and millions.
Monica, we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
We have one more break we got to go. We'll be right back.
Okay.
People, please hang on to this riveting interview.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Mother Nature wanted to make an impression on Mother's Day weekend in what could be a once-in-a-generation May snowstorm, poised to drop snow across portions of the Northeast and New England. Snow has already begun in some areas of the Northeast, spreading into New England with snowfall rates that could be heavy at times. And the big cities along the I-95 corridor will see rain with an outside chance of wet snowflakes through Sunday afternoon. Across the interior Northeast and New England, snowfall totals could range from a dusting to 4 inches, with locally higher amounts of 6 to 8 inches, and isolated totals over a foot. The storm could intensify quickly enough to become a bomb cyclone by later tonight. The definition of a bomb cyclone is a storm that drops 24 millibars in 24 hours over a certain area. And then there's the widespread cold, courtesy of the polar vortex. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Some are describing the U.S. economy as the biggest crisis in almost a century, and John Clements is here to report.
Pandemic has created the biggest jobless figure to a post-World War II high of 14.7%, as 20.5 million jobs were lost in the month of April. Larry Kudlow, director of the White House National Economic Council, said there may be a light at the end of the tunnel.
About three-quarters of the job loss were from temporary layoffs. It doesn't lessen the hardship.
The current unemployment rate of 14.7% is being compared to the 3.5% rate only 2 months ago. Over the last 7 weeks since the coronavirus struck, more than 33 million Americans have applied for unemployment.
Tens of thousands of crew members have been trapped for weeks above dozens of cruise ships around the world, long after governments and cruise lines negotiated their passengers' disembarkation. Some have gotten ill and died, and others have survived, but now are no longer getting paid for their jobs. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, I certainly hope you've been holding on. I hope we haven't lost anybody in our audience because, you know, if you think, people, if y'all think we may be repeating ourselves too much, we've already explained why. And this is probably not going to be the end of the series, although we're getting probably close to some of the meat and potatoes, but we'll talk about at a later time why does it matter today. But I'd like to, you know, why does this Holocaust thing matter today? I would like to kick back a few little things before we go back to the girls. You know, the Red Cross, Eisenhower, the Jew himself, the Swedish Jew Eisenhower, who hated Germans, FDR, Churchill, Stalin, they all hated Germans. Like Monica and Berta have mentioned, not one word of death camps has been found in any of their memoirs. And you know good and well, if there had been any death camps like the international Zio media has been perpetrating for 70, 80 years, 100 years, there would be at least one word there in there. And I'd also like to say this, like I've mentioned this before to my Christian friends, my so-called pseudo-Christian friends in the the Judeo-Christian Southern Baptist Church. Was God, you know, the chosen people that, you know, what 60 billion of them killed, 6 trillion, 6 million, what, pick your name, pick your figure. Did God allow 6 million of his precious chosen people to die? Oh, Lord, was it because he wanted to save them, but he's just inept. He couldn't prevent the German army from, the German army overpowered God. Or maybe could have been payback. For what the Jews did to the Ukrainians in the Ukrainian Holodomor that the girls mentioned a minute ago. Was it payback for the 66 million Christians, white people that perished in the Siberian camps between 1917 and 1960? Could that be part of it? Or, you know, could it be that the people are punished so much nowadays for talking about the Holocaust because the Holocaust is a patented trademark money-making ATM machine for international jewelry. With that, I'll shut up and go right back to Miss Monica. I believe you were talking before we went to the break.
Yeah, what the Pravda, the Soviet paper, Pravda, then day after they broke their silence with a very brief statement about, you know, thousands and thousands of deaths in Auschwitz, but, you know, they really had to regroup after they liberated the camp, and it looked very, very different than the rumors what the rumors had spread. Okay, so then the next day, so that would have been February 2nd, Pravda's chief reporter, Jewish journalist Boris Polevai, he affirmed that the main method to exterminate was electricity. Electric conveyor belt would electrify hundreds, electrocuted simultaneously, and they would be going on this conveyor belt till they got dropped into this blast furnace. So, you know, that's a totally different story than what we were then told about gas chambers. I mean, their own story changed so much, so often, that, you know, what are we supposed to believe? And don't forget about those human lampshades and soap made from the Jewish fat and shrunken head. Don't forget about that, too. I mean, that's what they terrorized us children with in school in the 1970s. And now, no, even the Jewish, you know, Holocaust historians, the establishment historians, they all admit those were lies. Well, when you're on a stand and you have a witness on the stand and they have been proven to have lied, then they're no longer credible witnesses, are they? And Eddie, you were talking about that. You reminded the listener about those memoirs, the war memoirs from Churchill, Eisenhower, and de Gaulle, not having a word about gas chambers. Well, guess who else had not said a word about gas chambers? This is probably one of the most famous Holocaust quote-unquote survivors, Elie Wiesel, if you want to pronounce it that way. He did his autobiography in 1958 called Night. I didn't read it, but, you know, we hear all about Elie Wiesel. He's one of the biggest. Oh, he's big. I mean, everything was lies. But anyway, he says there was no mention of gas chambers. He just said there were huge fires that they burned the bodies in, or crematory furnaces, but he didn't mention gas chambers. And this is really important to note. He was given the choice when the camps were, when the Germans were leaving, before the Soviet so-called liberators came, he was given the choice to leave with the Germans. Actually, many prisoners were given this choice, to leave with the Germans or wait for the Soviets. Well, he talked with his father, who was also there, and they decided to go with those Germans. And many of the prisoners did. Many did.
Yes, they did.
Why would they go with the Germans if the Germans were, you know, doing vivisection on them and doing evil experiments on them and gassing them by the millions? Now, why would they have left with the Germans and not waited for the Soviet liberators? You see, so it's, as you go into this story, it just falls apart more and more and more. And there's so much we could say about this. In you know, for example, here's a former Israeli minister, Shulamit Aloni. So she was in the Israeli Knesset, a minister. She was asked, I forgot the name of it, from Democracy Now, the woman there who herself is a little bit of a controlled opposition. But anyway, she asked this former Israeli minister, you know, her response to this anti-Semitic charge against anybody criticizing Israel. Okay, what did she answer? Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring out the Holocaust. When in this country, the USA, someone is criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And then she goes on to talk about their power in America, and she brings up, you know, the suffering of the Jewish people, which justifies everything. And she kind of said it with a smirk on her face, you know, oh, it justifies everything and anything they do. I mean, how much more chutzpah can you have, you know? There's another thing I just absolutely have to bring in here. This, bringing it back to Robert Faurisson, who we started with. Robert Faurisson, a giant in terms of having uncovered, you know, exposing the lies and bringing truth to this story. He did submit some detailed explanations in Le Monde, which is the French daily newspaper. This was back in 1978 and 1979. So December 29th, 1978 and January 16th, 1979, he actually got some airtime or print. They printed, you know, his reasons for why the gassings were impossible. Then on February 21st, 1979, there was a declaration in Le Monde, this French daily newspaper, by 34 French historians that concluded, listen carefully, quote, we need not ask ourselves how such a mass murder was technically possible. It was technically possible since it took place. End of quote. Can you imagine that? They just...
That's so Talmudic.
That was actually the exterminationist's fatal blow, because with that statement, they basically admitted they have no evidence. And, you know, it's absurd. They say we need not ask ourselves how it was technically possible. It was technically possible because it happened. That's their logic, circular logic. Yeah. I don't know if Berthe, if you can even find words after that, because it's just so... It renders you speechless, does it not?
Well, it, of course, makes no sense. And on the other hand, it shows how highly political this whole thing is. Or
absolutely.
What it is the foundation of.
And yes.
I would also say to this Shilami quote that now, after 75 years, they obviously missed... Or it will backfire because how they treat their neighbors, the Palestinians. Yes, it's growing, and even if within the Muslim religion, it's also that they are for 5 years now pondering when, because the point is the Moshiach, which is for the rabbis or for the Jewish people a good figure, is for the Muslim the devil itself. So as soon as they will announce their Moshiach, the Muslims will know that they have to do, or that they have to fight Israel to free the world from the imposter, from this Dajjal, they call it. And so it all falls back on their feet.
We got to go to a quick break, Miss Berta. Well, I'll tell you what, if they're going to fight the devil, they better do it soon, because he's getting a stranglehold on the whole world. People will be right back.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven, revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, I never had a lesson, folks, before I started this old radio show. But listen, before we go back to the girls, I'd just like to make a quick announcement. I was just conversing with another guy I respect you know, I was naming people, men that I greatly respect at the front of, at the first of the show, General Nick Glasnevik. Now, you're talking about a man's man. That man, my Lord, you, I won't give his resume right now, but he's going to come on the show again very soon. Matter of fact, I'm trying to figure out how to get General Nick in conversing with the girls on this topic and other topics. Of course, we're going to converse with him. We're going to go to a show. Yeah, we know all this. Now, what do we do? How do we prepare for the coming communist tyrannical takeover of the United States that we see coming down even as we speak with this so-called COVID scare, getting to run us into the camps? But he's going to come on. I can't wait to do that. Just want you people to know that. And I also like to ask you to pray for Lee Cochran, because he's really having some difficulties right now. He had, I don't think he'd care if we mentioned it. He's had another amputation on his foot. He's a severe diabetic, and I hope he's listening tonight. If you're listening, Lee, I hope you're doing well. Hope say hello to your mother. Say hello to your and say Happy Mother's Day to your mother from the Big E. Miss Beretta, I believe we'll go back to you because I believe you're the one that talked to me before we went to the break.
We wanted to go on with the Monica with the Commandant Turbefehle.
Yeah, I'll just be very, very brief with that because we are coming into the final quarter of hour here, mm-hmm. and it would be nice to wrap up, you know, why this is so important to expose this big lie and how it relates to Jewish power, the forever persecuted Jew, in quotation marks, because that is how what their identity is or how they portray their identity. If you ask any Jewish person, you know, what's their identity? It's the persecuted Jew forever, forever. And what they've done is they've completely reversed all that, and that is like Jesus Christ said, your father, the devil, and you cannot do anything but lie. And so everything is upside down and reversed. And really, one of the things about Jewish power is to prevent us from talking about Jewish power. And so that's the importance of busting this Holocaust lie open, because it's the big one. You know, in this era, in this century, or the previous century, in this century, this big lie. And if that one is finally, it comes to the daylight, which it is, and that's why they're in such panic mode to shut people up that talk about it, and that's why they got people in prison about that very thing, is because they are very afraid of that truth coming out. And it is very relevant to our current situation, and I'm glad that you brought that into the discussion, Eddie, about, you know, this is the basically they're in their, you know, they're trying their final stages here. But I mean, they haven't got this tied up and won. No, I mean, we have to absolutely just resist this and stop obeying and do some civil disobedience about this crazy lockdown stuff. That's absolutely what we have to do, because they do not have our consent. And without our consent, they do not have power and authority over us. They need our
Monica. I'd like to mention one thing. Some time ago, and I've mentioned this before, but this is another repeat. My co-host Lee Cochran, former co-host, he and I, we went to one Congressman David Kustoff's office, and he is the good Jewish, the good son of Abraham congressman. He is Lee Cochran's congressman, and I have a good Jewish son of Abraham congressman by the name of Steve Cohen. Well, David Kustoff, the good Jewish congressman, he is the one that went before the United States Congress, and he got this resolution passed, making it, they want to make it illegal for any American to criticize Israel, to criticize Jews, Jewry, to criticize the ADL, et cetera, et cetera. People listening to this show,
bingo.
What's going on in Germany is coming here. It's not coming. It is here. If you don't stand up, It's not going to be stopped. Go back to you, Ms. Monica. Monica, I just want you to know how far along it's coming here in the United States. Go ahead, Ms. Monica.
Oh, yeah. And here in Canada, too. And here in Canada. And I think in many countries. And it is very far along. But what is very discouraging and unfortunate is that the people are just going along with it like sheep and obeying these crazy rules. Now, if we just said no and did civil disobedience, then they don't have this authority over us. I mean, these are, they got their lockdown guidelines and this and that, and everybody's obeying from every level of government, even at the very local level. And I mean, I'm doing my best to educate people and tell them, no, don't do this, open up. And anyway, but, what Birta mentioned there, the Commandantua Befehle, just to kind of wrap that up, because people might be curious what we're going to say about that. I had in my hands this big, thick book that was all the Commandantua Befehle from Auschwitz. In other words, all the directives to the staff there during the years that camp was open. And I'm telling you, there are examples in there such as, don't overcook the food because the vegetables lose their nutrients, or don't cut all the lilacs off the surrounding bushes all at once because then they might not come back next year. These kinds of things, I mean, those are little details, but these were thick, like just tons and tons of directives of how to treat the prisoners, how to do this, how to do that. It was nothing about torturing or gassing, and that's all I wanted to say about that. I mean, it's just another nail in the coffin of this Holohoax lie,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I would also like to add to this that this congressman is aiming at the wrong direction, I guess, because we just should look at Israel and how the Muslim nations around it have their meaning of towards Jews living among them, or about this Jewish state. Because this is a direction they should look now, because there are 1.5 billion Muslims who are not known to me that they love Jews or that they love the state Israel, so as far as I know. And this is where the things will fall on to their feet. And Mike, view this whole thing as a boomerang, and it will strike from this direction fully.
Ms. Burke, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you, then we'll go to Ms. Monica, because we've got about 2 minutes left. Bertrand, I know the answer. Why do Jews hate Germany above all other nations?
This is also another thing which is promoted by the rabbis, as far as I could see this. Besides, of course, the Second World War, is because they are taught that we are Amalek, and as long as Amalek survives, the Mashiach doesn't come. Because the Mashiach, this is all circular. Everything is connected to this. Because otherwise they don't get their homeland back. And this is why Germany is so much under pressure, which was also which is also promoted by the political case of Germany itself. They're also they don't like themselves, and so they also want Germany perish and from and... Yes, Mrs. Merkel, also Chancellor Merkel, is also known to be a Zionist. That's why she's
promoting
all these thefts.
And she's a Jew, is she not? She is Jewish. Like, I've seen documentation about her identity, that she had a different name, and Kastel or something, and that she is actually, Kastner.
And she's a Zionist, too.
So. Girl, we have just a few seconds left. I would just like to take this time to welcome, we'll bring y'all back. We have another pastor coming on next week. I'll get with you, both of you girls. But I would just like to say this, to reiterate what Dr. Hill said, not only do we have to have our own nation, our own white nation in the South. We need a white worldwide nation because the white race, the Christian race, we're being attacked on a worldwide level, dear girls. Monica, would you like to have a final word before we
about out of time? Sure. Germany is the heart of Europe. And the Jews, they want to destroy the white race because the white race has been the only race that really stood up to the Jews all through. And I
well said.
As Germany goes, Europe goes. You know, and that's, I think, why we are attacking especially Germans.
And it looks like as the world goes. Well, thank you very much, girls. Thank you very much, Bertha and Monica. We'll be conversing with y'all very soon. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much to my other supporters. God bless you all. Please pray for me. Pray for Blood River Radio. And happy Mother's Day again, folks. Good night. Thank you, Sam.